Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are all well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, we'll be looking back then at yesterday's thrilling 3-3 draw up at Bolton Wanderers. The Addicts twice in the lead, but unable to hold them for a win, but it feels like a very good point on the road against the side sitting third in the table with the best home record in League One as well. So joining me to discuss the game yesterday, first up top right, Sue Gallop. How are you doing, Sue?
I'm good, thank you. Feeling happy.
Yeah, I think that it feels like there's been a bit of a mindset change. I've noticed in the comments already, actually, as well, which we'll discuss. Also, bottom of the screen, a man who was there doing the commentary, as always, Terry Smith, making his first Charlton Live appearance of the season, potentially of the millennium.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it? I've had a long injury layoff. It's been a tough road, but I'm pleased to be back.
Yeah, look at the Wi-Fi in his new house works as well, which is, if anything, a surprise. But yeah, I'm really pleased.
When we moved in, it said I had full fibre. It took me ages to realise it wasn't bran flakes.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, part of any good diet, full fibre, of course. So on this week's show, then, we'll hear the goals from yesterday's draw at Bolton shortly. We'll hear, of course, from the Addicts manager, Nathan Jones. And we've got a special guest as well, because we're going to speak to Dan Carney as well. I interviewed him after yesterday's game. So we'll hear from those two as well. I want to hear from all of you in the chat as well. Morning to Alan, to Sam, to Ray, to Paul. Anthony's in there. Keith, Alex, Dave, Jay, Andrew. Loads of you in there. Newbury's in there as well. Let us know what you made of yesterday's performance. Who stood out for you, good or bad? Is a draw okay in our current situation? Let us know what you made of that. You can also tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. So just before we hear the goals, Terry, I'll go with you, because you were doing the commentary. How do you sum that game up? I mean, you might have taken a point beforehand. The way it went, it may be slightly disappointing we didn't get all three.
Yeah, and the drive up we were saying about, you bite your arm off for a point, no question about it, especially Bolton, given their home record. Yes, they were missing a couple of players, but even so, I think there was a stat that was flying around, even without Dion Charles, they've won 75% of the games that they played without him. So there was, guarded, slight optimism, to be fair. I mean, when you consider the second half against Lincoln, there was the hope that we'd have some sort of manager reaction. I mean, they call it a manager bounce. I'm not sure we've had that, because we still haven't won a game in three since Nathan Jones arrived. So manager blip, maybe the best explanation. So there was some hope, but not real hope, I don't think. I think we were going there. I think we were looking for a performance rather than anything else. And that was the key for me going up. And if somebody had said we'd be sharing six goals with Bolton, I'm not sure we'd have picked 3-3 as a result.
Well, you're very optimistic if you thought we were going to go and win 6-0, Terry. But that's you all round, isn't it? Yeah, right. Let's have a listen back to the goals from yesterday. Your commentators on Charlton TV, as always, were our very own Terry Smith and Greg Stubley.
Throw goes into Collins, back to Ashworth, ball into the box, it's touched home by Adebayo, and Bolton take the lead.
Well, saying Charlton have started brightly, it's defending again, it's a wonderful ball in, but Charlton have to stop the cross, they have to get across Ashworth. Adebayo makes a lovely run towards the near post. It's a tidy finish. But Charlton have to show more desire for Meitel to stop that ball.
Darpo touches it to Anderson. Now Small on the left. Ball into the box. It's a good one. Oh, it's the slightest of touches, maybe from Darpo. If it isn't,
then Small's just got his opening goal for the club.
Well, Adapo's running straight to Thierry Small. What a wonderful cross is. This is Tell. Small with his right foot swings it in. Ladapo doesn't get a touch. He's gone all the way in. And a debut goal for Thierry Small and a perfect reaction from Charlton. What a wonderful cross that is. Welcome to the club, Thierry Small.
The corner, they go short. Dobson looks towards the edge of the box towards Kanu. Might come the way of Lloyd Jones with a shot and it's gone in. Charlton take the lead.
A set-piece routine works in the end for Charlton. Whether Lloyd Jones was the intended target, I'm not so sure. But Charlton won't care as their centre-half gives Charlton the lead.
I can guarantee you Jones wasn't the intended target. And I think it took everybody by surprise, probably including Lloyd Jones himself, as the ball was worked short here on the right-hand side. And when it came across, I think it caught a little bit everybody by surprise. It was behind everyone. Jones, the first to react from the edge of the area, drilled it home. Guarantee you Coleman wasn't expecting that, and Charlton take the lead here.
Sheehan across to Makoma against Dobson onto his left foot, back out to his right. Makoma still Makoma works an angle for the shot, and it's a wonderful finish for Makoma,
who chopped onto his left, chopped onto his right. Dobson lost his footing, allowed just an inch of space for Makoma to curl in a wonderful effort. And Bolton a level.
You can see the concentration and the effort to try and stop him getting back on his right foot. Three occasions I think he tried to do it and Dobson didn't fall for it, and then on the final one when he cut back on his right, Dobson, whether it was a slip or he just had already committed to thinking there was a shot coming in from the left, fell for it. Makoma just curled
towards
it.
The far post, looking for Small. Jumps up well towards Ladapo. Chest control down to Small. In the parents here, Thierry Small goes for goal. Comes away of Kanu. Can he get under control? Daniel Kanu!
Yes! Come on!
Charlton score again! And it's Daniel Kanu, the goal scorer. Dacris Cogley was down on the floor. And Charlton played on. The ball came to Kanu on the turn. And off the post, and Charlton take the lead again.
Is it me, or did that happen in slow motion? Charlton kept the pressure on, the ball across. Thierry Small with the header, and it just, everything after that just seemed to happen in slow motion. Bolton players, I don't know if they were expecting a free kick. They're still talking to the referee with a Bolton player down in the box, thinking they should have got one. Charlton, I think, almost reluctantly carried
Sheehan
on.
Takes over in the middle. Goes past Anderson to the corner of the penalty area. Trying to release.
Douglas Cogley into the box. He does, and the ball across is found by Barson, and Bolton have an equaliser.
I mean, it's been coming a lot since Charlton got ahead. It's been coming, that movement. And I said about tiredness, Charlton really slapped defending there. They switched off. It's a wonderful move. But Barson couldn't miss, but Charlton's struggling to trap runners.
There we go, an absolutely thrilling game up at the Tough Sheet Stadium yesterday, which I managed not to call what you're not supposed to call it all day, actually, which I was quite pleased with. So yeah, three goals scored, three goals conceded. So overall, I mean, Terry said if you were looking at a performance rather than a result, first of all, you would have been happy enough with the performance. The fact that we've gone there and taken a point, I think that we're still 13 games from the end of the season. If we were three games from the end of the season, then maybe holding on to 3 points would have been more important. But Nathan says it's a step in the right direction. Is that the way you saw it yesterday?
Yeah, I think, like, the performance, obviously, I haven't watched as many games as you two this season, but I was just astounded at the change in performance in terms of the energy levels, the pressing, they just looked more organised. There was a more, like, a togetherness. Like, it was just a polar opposite to how we were playing under Michael. So, and I think it is a young side. I know, like Nathan said after the game, it's a young side, and they should take so much confidence from that yesterday to go to the team that's third in the league that haven't lost in, I can't remember how many games you said, but you've got to take all the positives from that. And I think that's Nathan's mindset, is like, yeah, we made mistakes. Yeah, there were things we need to improve on. but it's a work in progress. And if you take the positives from yesterday and take that into each game, you're just going to grow in confidence, grow in that mindset and how Nathan sets us up. So that even if you do change the starting lineup, I've seen the three games he's had, he's changed the starting lineup, which is an unusual for us. But every single one of those players knows their job when they come on. They know what their aim is. They know what they're supposed to do. They know where they're going to be going for in terms of their role in the team. So I take massive confidence from yesterday, and I definitely feel like the lads will, because they can see they can battle with the best of them.
Yeah, I can see that Gavin Carter's in the chat today and says confidence is obviously so key in any sport. I think yesterday you could see the players' confidence grow. That for me was the biggest thing to come from yesterday. I mean, the way the game started, it didn't feel like there'd been a great deal in it before those two quick goals, one for either side, but you know, we got caught out of the near post. I think it was Terrell Thomas who let Adebayo get the wrong side of him. I can't remember who didn't block the cross as well. But when that goal went in, you know, it's another game without a clean sheet. I was thinking, goodness me, here we go. So the timing of that goal that we got back within 4 minutes from Thierry Small, it turns out, it did go straight the way through, was probably one of the biggest parts of that game for us. Because if we'd gone down 1-0 and been behind for a while, I think that could have sucked the life out of us a little bit.
I agree, and a slight confession here from me. When that, I mean, we started the opening, what was it, 19 minutes before they scored, on the front foot, and I thought we were playing quite well. We were pressing them. You could see the energy levels, as Sue had already mentioned. We just looked up for it, which was great. And so the first 19 minutes, I was 18 and a bit minutes, I was really hopeful that we might be able to do something here. And then the goal, when it went in, was, and I think I used the word, scarily simple. That first goal of theirs, ball on the left, their left, simple cross, near post run, simple finish. And I thought, that's undone pretty much the first 18.5 minutes where we've looked quite good. And I was a little bit worried at that point, because I thought, they haven't really threatened us at all. And with their first real chance, their first real simple move, they score a goal. And I thought, there was a little sense of dread in me that if this carries on, it could be a tough afternoon. But you're right, that the timing of that second goal. And the other thing I'd like to, I think, mention is just before Thierry Small got that cross in, there was a moment, I think about 5 minutes in, 6 minutes in, where he did a back pass towards Harry Eisted, which was woefully short and went straight to Adebayo. And I think he was as surprised as the rest of us and didn't make the most of it. There was a great, you'll hear it, I'm sure, in the Nathan Jones. I'm not sure you'll hear it in your interview, but certainly on the one on Charlton TV, where he wasn't best pleased, I think is probably the best phrase I can use.
Friends to punch him, I think, is the exact phrase you're looking for.
He said it twice, in fact, so he definitely meant it. But I think what it did, I think, bizarrely, it focused Thierry Small. It got it out of the way, nothing came of it, and it sort of refocused him, because from that point forward, he was outstanding. And he delivered a couple of crosses. There was one also where he didn't quite get the cross right, but he took on his man outside on the left. And we haven't seen that too often from our wing-backs up to this point. So that really made me hopeful. And then that cross, when it went in, yeah, the instant I thought, when it happened, I thought, oh, Ladapo must have got a touch. He must have flicked it in. But obviously when you see it back, and Freddie immediately went to Thierry Small to say, no, that's your goal. And he was pointing it straight away. So, yeah, I think the timing was perfect within 2 minutes, I think, wasn't it? And it was just reward for the endeavour we put in. And I think it put Bolton on the back foot a bit, because they thought, hello, we're in for a fight here.
Yeah, I think any Bolton fan who would have gone into that game, probably looking at our recent results and the fact we're obviously now 15 games without a win, might have been slightly surprised, I think, by how well we did play yesterday and the energy we showed. And they did feel very different to some of the games as we'd seen over the previous few weeks under the last manager, as you mentioned there, Sue. We scored from a corner, you know, don't adjust your sets. We did actually sort of well work a corner just before half time. It wasn't exactly like they pinged it to Lloyd Jones and he put him in the ball. I think they pinged it to someone. And ended up with Lloyd Jones, Sue. But I mean, it's a good finish. And again, we tried something a bit different from a set piece that actually came off, which hopefully will be a step in the right direction, because I do think it's legitimately the first goal we scored from a corner in about a year and a half.
Yeah, all I thought after was like, oh my God, who scored from a corner? Yeah, it did ding about a bit, didn't it? But it went where it needed to go. So you just got to take it, ain't ya? They're, I don't care how messy our goals are. If we're scoring and we're competing against a team like Bolton.
It's nice for Lloyd to score as well, considering I think he's come off the back of a couple of difficult weeks, but now he's had two or three good performances in a row.
Yeah, I think we were all a bit like, I think that break for Lloyd came at the right time. And then obviously Nathan is a manager that's going to instill that confidence back in you. And like, he has had a good few performances, and they will make mistakes. That's just par for the course. It's how you manage those mistakes when they happen. And for him to score is amazing, because we all know what a great player he is. And just, yeah, you could see how buzzing he was and how the lads were so buzzing for him. So, just so good. I'm buzzing. In a way, I know it sounds pathetic, but it feels a little bit like a victory.
Because you go in expecting no points and you come out with one, I guess, is part of it. Yeah, Dean saying that Jones was a class act again yesterday. When we went in at half time, so that was only the second lead we've held at half time of an away game this season, the other one being Wigan, which obviously we did our best to throw away, but we did hang on and win that one. That's the only away win we've had this season in the league, and I wasn't there, so I still haven't seen one all season, but it's the only one I've missed. But yeah, it felt like it was going to be a big ask, and Bolton did come out looking good, looking likely, and Paris Magoma, the Brentford loan, it was a great finish. You still think that maybe there was a... I know George was there desperately trying to block it, but he did eventually work a bit of space on the edge of the box, which I don't know, maybe when we look back at it, that we might have been able to just get that little bit tighter one last time.
I think if you see the goal back again, I think George stopped him going on his right foot three times, certainly twice, but then the final one, I think either George thought, well, he's going to have to hit it with his left now because I'm stopping it with his right. And he fell for it, or he slipped. I couldn't quite make out when it really happened in real time what it was. But McComber was desperate to get it on his right foot, and you can see why, because it was a quality finish. But yeah, I think when Nathan Jones, and I think he said it to me afterwards, when he looks back at the goals, he'll probably be a bit upset that all three goals were stoppable, were defendable, and we didn't manage to do it. I mean, that might be clutching, picking too many holes in, because the performance, as you quite rightly said, was probably one of the best we've put in this season, let alone even accounting for the Wigan away win. I think it's up there with one of the best, no question about it.
Yeah, especially when you consider, I think Bolton, going into the game on Saturday, is Bolton, Pompey and Derby, the top three, all had the joint best defensive records in the division. So, yeah, not many people are going to go there and score three. As Guy says, really pleased with the performance and point scoring goals and competing. Not many score three at Bolton. The subs came too late. The boys were knackered. The whole midfield was a tackle away from a red. Yeah, and that was obviously a difficult point that pretty much everyone got booked yesterday, it felt, in that midfield. The third goal, again, one that came at a good time for us, because after they got it to 2-2, you think, right, now Bolton are going to try and turn the screw. They've had their little setback in the first half. Jones made a really good block on a shot from Bodvarsson inside the area as well. But the third goal, and I don't think ever has a man deserved a goal as much as Dan Carney did yesterday. I mean, his performance was just absolutely outstanding. You know, I said to Nathan, you'll hear it in the interview after, like I said, you showed faith in him because you keep picking him. And he's like, it's not faith. He's being picked on his performances. And yesterday, I think, was probably the best I've seen him.
Yeah, he was unbelievable yesterday. Well, I mean, him and Small, I think. But Dan is just like, you can't believe how young he is. For the ability he's got, the strength he's got, the confidence that he's got. I mean, it was just unstoppable yesterday, really. And yeah, he so deserved that goal. And that wasn't an easy goal to take either. And I think, yeah, out of other chances that might have come to him, that was probably the hardest. And that's the one that he ends up scoring. And it's just, it's so nice. Like, we've obviously pride ourselves on our academy. But again, it is so nice to have one of our boys that have come through from young and be playing that well in our first team and deserving his place in that team. Not, like you say, not getting it through Nathan putting a bit of faith in him because he's one of our homegrown boys. He has got the ability and he deserves to be in that starting lineup because of the effort and the strength that he shows when he plays.
Again, when you see a young player that's perhaps at times been thrown in too early, Terry, it's interesting to see how they grow into it. And, you know, Miles did it last season. He grew into last season. Dan's massively done it this season. It's remarkable that he was playing in the National League about 4 months ago. no surprise that he did score 4 in one game, to be fair. But, yeah, the way he's improved and bulked and all that sort of stuff that you have to do as a young player coming into the side. And he talks with such confidence as well. When you've got like that sort of swagger in your personality, it's no surprise that you can then portray it on the pitch as well.
He's a Dartford boy. What do you expect? I'd probably go beyond that, I think, Louis. I'd say I'm lucky enough that I watch a fair bit of under-21s and 18s as well. And I've been lucky enough to watch Daniel Carnu come through both levels. And 18, he was scoring for, a bit like Patrick Casey, scoring for fun against the defenders who just couldn't cope with him. Stepped up to the 21s, and there was a brief period where there was that difference in physicality that he couldn't quite cope with. And I wouldn't say struggled, that's not the right word, but it took him a little bit of time to get used to the extra physicality under 21s. And when he burst into the first team, I think that you could probably level the same thing, that he needed to, I wouldn't say bulk up, but he needed to learn the physical side of the game, especially in League One. I think the Southend loan helped him, for sure, because... not to put it too unpolitely, but there's probably a few clodhoppers down there that are just happy to kick him up in the air. And I think that little loan period has changed him, because the physicality he showed yesterday against three very good centre-halves, I should say, yesterday was just outstanding. And I thought the reason I yelped quite so much when Daniel Carter scored is just I wanted him to score. I was desperate for him to score. To put a cap on what I thought was his best performance in a Charlton shirt by far.
He was absolutely excellent yesterday. We'll hear from him later on in the show. The third goal, former Millwall striker John Daddy Bodvarsson was able to, as soon as he came on at half time, it's like, well, they're definitely getting at least one goal in this game. Again, we've sort of been allowed a striker to come across us at the near post. It's a good finish. But the way the game went after that, you'd expect Bolton to have put us under pressure, and they did in the added time. But also, I mean, we had a couple of chances. You know, we still had Chooks to throw on. We still had Alfie May to throw on. We'll talk about the team selection, I think, after we hear from Nathan, because he explains a lot of it. But the fact that we were still in that game and could have won it at the end as well was another promising thing. We didn't sit in and just think, right, we're going to take a point. We, like Chooks in particular, had that great chance that was pushed over the bar by Coleman near the end. So, yeah, it could have gone either way, but yeah, certainly positives from how we sort of saw that game out as well, Sue.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading some of the comments, and you say like a few weeks ago we would have lost that in the last few. I mean, because what was it? We had eight minutes added on, but then it ended up being about 12, and they just didn't let their heads get down at all. And again, that is another massive difference because, as we know, we've consistently this season been conceding goals in the last minutes of game, and they didn't look like that was going to happen. And I think partly because of how we were sort of defending, but also they, like you say, they didn't seem to be pushing for that, where maybe they sort of came to the conclusion, right, we're just going to take a point. Because again, where we were having those opportunities, I guess you risk that if you open up too much, then you concede again. So maybe their thoughts were, right, let's just sit for the point. But again, I just feel so proud of the lads that they just didn't stop until right till the final whistle, because we haven't seen that this season. They have, their heads are dropped if the other team has scored. They've run out of legs. Yeah, they were knackered at the end, but they didn't stop. And I think that's what it's another positive that we've got to take from yesterday to take into next week.
What one bit of gamesmanship that the Bolton fans didn't enjoy was the fact that, I mean, Harry Eistead's head kept dropping to the floor after he was getting battered around it, apparently. Then he was sort of playing up to the crowd a little bit at one point when he caught a cross, then immediately dropped across from behind for a corner. So I was thinking, don't do that until the end. But I had a tweet from a Bolton fan in the closing stages saying, oh, this is why you're at the bottom, just time-wasting and dark hearts and all that. And I wanted to reply to him, the reason we're at the bottom is because we've not done this all season. The amount of goals we've given away, Tell, by not being a bit street smart at the end. You know, like I say, we're still in it going for a win, but at the same time, we knew how to take the sting out of any pressure that Bolton were trying to put on us. And look, we've moaned about it for years and years and years, and I think football as a collective has probably just come to acceptance that's just part of it now, and if everyone else is going to do it, then we've got to do it as well.
100% that. I think Joe sent a tweet, Joe Pettifoot from Charlton Live sent a tweet yesterday, and he mentioned that I'd said it a few times when Jason Pearce was playing, that he'd always go down. In the last 5 minutes of a game, Jason Pearce would go down at least twice, maybe even three times. Just before the referee decides to bring the physio on, he'd get up. Because it's playing the game. You've got to win at all costs, I suppose. And it's not unfair. I mean, when you consider that, Adebayo went down like after he got breathed on two or three times in the first half, let alone near the end, when Dacus Cogley went down for Daniel Carno's goal, he had a quick look at the referee to see if he was watching, and then rolled down like he'd been shot from the stand. So, you know, every team does it. And you're right. The reason, not just the reason, of course, but one of the reasons that, we've struggled is we haven't been able to do the dark arts. We haven't been able to do eat up time Daniel Carno, bless him, he tries to stay on his feet all the time. All the time, even when he's been kicked up and pulled and shown. Karoy Anderson as well. He's having his shirt pulled off him most of the time, especially in the first half. And he just tried to stay on his feet all the time. Now give it 5 or 6 years, and then hopefully they'll be realising, maybe less, they'll realise that go down, you know, take up some time, get a free kick, win a free kick. You know, it's not all about getting fouled. Winning a free kick is a different thing. And they'll learn that for sure. And you get the feeling Daniel Carno certainly will, because he'll face even tougher opposition as he goes forward in his career. And he'll learn, and he'll be a much better player for it as well.
Yeah, Dean says Charlton done what clubs normally do to us, slowing the game down, frustrating the home fans. And Guy said, I think we will get better at that. Before Bolton's third goal, we were absolutely knackered. Boys looked like they were moving in treacle and the goal was coming. Someone really needed to go down there. Right, we've still got loads of your comments to get to, but I think maybe now we should hear from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, because I want to discuss a couple of things that I spoke to him about as well. So this is what Nathan had to say to me after yesterday's 3-3 draw up at the Tough Sheet Stadium. Nathan, 3-3 draw here at Bolton. How did you see that today?
Look, it's a positive point. I thought it was a positive performance. I'm really disappointed with probably the first and third goals. But look, to come here and score three and to give probably definitely one of the best, but arguably the best, you know, footballing side in division to be able to do what we did, it shows that we're progressing. And I thought it was a really positive performance. At no point did we look to contain. We led three times in the game, so we showed it every time we had a knock. I think they scored first. They scored first, sorry. So we led twice in the game, but we showed that one, we can come back, two, we can be positive and go and try to win games. And that's arguably the most difficult place in the division to come to.
Yeah, I mean, a lot been made about the daunting run of fixtures your side had, but did they show you today how to attack those sort of games?
You know, daunting, everything's difficult because there is so much meaning of them, and we have to learn to come to places like this and win and be bold and to dominate and things. That's what we have to learn to do. Now, all right, daunting. I mean, the last run of fixtures that I had was Liverpool, Brighton and Villa, you know, so you don't get too more frightening than that. So to come here with great respect, these are a fantastic side for the division, but you know, we have to learn to handle pressure, we have to learn big and to go on and win games, because that's what we want to become.
Yeah, a lot of Charlton fans before the game might have taken a point, but having led twice and in your situation in the table, do you still see it as a good point, or is there a tinge of disappointment as well?
No, there's a tinge of disappointment because having led twice and so on, and with certain aspects of the goal. But look, you have to be realistic as well, and that's a positive point today. You know, we have to get a points total to stay up, and that's the point towards it. And they are tough fixtures, as you said, and to come here, there's no God-given right that we're going to roll over Bolton. in any way, because they're a very, very good side. So, yeah, it's a positive point. Would I have taken a point for the game? It's a difficult one because I'm a positive person and I want to win every game, but I'll sit on the bus today and reflect and go, no, I'm content.
There's so many players I could pick out, but I thought Dan Kanu up front, you showed faith in him by keeping him in the starting 11 today, and he repaid you massively.
I didn't show faith in him. I picked him on his performance. That's all I do. It's not me showing faith in him. Croy Anderson, another one. You know, it's wonderful. Wonderful to see these young players who've come through Charlton's academy, which is a fantastic academy. See them doing well and see them embrace everything, and they don't let you down. You know, I've got big faith. I've always been a developer of young players, and I like young players because you can mould them, and then coupled with everyone else, you know, I thought it was a wonderful performance. We don't want to concede three goals, we don't, but it was that type of game, you know, in terms of both teams were really, really going for it. They were desperate for the win. Ref played, was it 3 hours of football, near, not far off. And we had to show a lot of character, and I thought we did today. And I'm really pleased because it shows that, you know, we're two unbeaten now, which is a start. Now we have to start picking up 3 points rather than just one.
I saw a debut for Thierry Small today as well. Obviously, got on the score sheet. You mentioned he had a slightly nervy moment at the start of the game as well, but what did you make of him overall?
Yeah, look, he held his own. Scored, made an error early on, recovered, scored, and was part of a team that got a point at Bolton. So, yep, absolutely no problem with Thierry. He'll get better, he'll get stronger, and hopefully that'll give him confidence.
You mentioned you've got a few headaches now up front. Obviously, a lot of Chonk fans would expect to see Alfie May start again, but does that show that the options you do have up top now, that you can keep your top scorer on the bench?
What we have is four. I always like to have four strikers, so you can, you know. Now, we didn't drop Alfie May today. What we did was try to find a way that when the game opens up, then he just hasn't scored in a certain amount of time. So, same as we did with Freddie, you know, sometimes they've got to really toil from the start, and then chances come late on when maybe main strikers are tired and so on. So we thought we'd bring him on at 60, and the game would have opened up when he gets his opportunities. But Dan was in such good form that we just brought Chucks on. So it's not a chance of dropping people. It's a fact of using four strikers to win a game, and that's what we'll do.
Charlton have conceded a lot of late goals over the course of this season, obviously, before you came in. Did you show a little bit of street smarts towards the end there to make sure that you got your point?
Yeah, look, you see them put their body on the line, you've got to defend well. I said this is the most difficult place to come, so there's so many positives from it. Look, I don't want to concede three goals. I want to score three goals pretty much every week, but I don't want to concede three goals. So there's stuff we can work on, but it's a positive point today because of where we are, because of the team we're playing against. But we are growing. We are, you know, they've got now instilled that confidence in them to win games, to go and see games out, to, you know, and that's what they have to learn. And look, it's a good point, and I'm pleased.
Backinson wasn't in the side today. Was that an injury, or was he just
he's
rotation?
He was ill, yeah. He was, you know, he was ill, so he travelled with us, and then we had to send him home. And then Panucci Kamara was lucky to think, because he picked up an injury the other day on Thursday as well. So look, we travelled up on Thursday, and we thanked the club for that. They've done fantastically well in backing us and allowing us to come up a day early to prepare well, and they showed that with the energy that, you know, that helped with the energy that we showed in the game. But yeah, Backinson was just ill today.
That's not something that happens often coming up on the Thursday. Is that something you like to do often then?
Look, not many League One sides, not many of the owners that will back that, you know. It's costly, it's thing, but if you're travelling London to Bolton and got to come round the M25, the M1, the M6 on a Friday, you're looking at 6-7 hours, which, you know, one, affects your training, two, wake up stiff today. So we asked them, could we come up on a Thursday night, and then any stiffness would have been Friday. We trained at Everton, so we thanked Sean Dyche as well for allowing us to do that, you know, great guy. And it proved today that we were energetic. We'd like to get the win, but it was an energetic performance and we needed that.
Just finally, did you get any update on Kane Ramsey? I know you had scans and that to worry about.
We haven't got everything yet. Look, it's not a minor one. It's something a little bit more serious, so we'll have that assessed in the next few days.
Cheers.
Just one. Did you have a view on the incident before Kanu scored? Because I think Bolton were probably a little unhappy that Dacus Coghlan was down injured and the ref allowed play to continue.
I don't know what happened. No, I didn't know what happened. What happened to him? Yeah.
So Dacus Coghlan was down injured.
Okay. I know. I didn't.
And the ref played on, and then.
All right. Well, well done. That's one thing you gave us today, because we played 105 minutes. So, you know. No, I didn't see it. We, you know, I thought it was a good goal. Well worth goal, but no, I didn't see that, so sorry. You know.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the adverts there, we heard from Nathan Jones, who congratulated the referee for allowing play to continue when Dacres Cogley was down for our third goal. That was very, very funny. Lots of people in the chat saying that the interview sort of highlighted how bad Appleton was, really, just listening to Nathan Jones. It is a bit of a breath of fresh air to speak to after. I'd suggest to you. Let's talk about some of the decisions he made then. So I put to him about Alfie being dropped, and he said, well, Nathan said Alfie May wasn't dropped. If I was being cheeky, I was going to put the headline on the website, Alfie May not dropped, says Nathan Jones after dropping Alfie May. But he said it's sort of rotation, that sort of thing. Chris saying, I love how Nathan has the balls in the week to drag Alfie and then to leave him out yesterday. Sub Dobbo off as well, shows that everyone is playing for a place in the team. I mean, Alfie's on one goal in 12. I'm not going to sit here and say we've given him loads of chances or anything like that. You know, he hasn't had plenty of opportunities in that time. But Nathan sort of explained his thinking behind the decision there, Sue. And as Chris said, you know, he had to make a difficult decision because, you know, Alfie's our top scorer and he's only one behind the top scorer in League One.
Yes, I mean it's a big decision, but as a manager, you have to make those difficult decisions, and if it's for the benefit of the team and how he's setting up and how he's playing, then that needs to happen. And I guess I was reading some things yesterday on social media. It was said that it looked like Alfie more recently had was becoming a bit more frustrated and sort of maybe not looking like the usual Alfie that we've come to love. So maybe, again, like we said, didn't do Lloyd Jones any harm, did it, having a couple of games out? Maybe that's what he needs, just to reset, refocus. But also the fact that we've gone with like Dan playing up front, like he's good enough. So it's good that we've got competition in those areas now as well, because that's just going to make them raise their game. So there was a few sort of question marks around Alfie being on the bench, but then I think I trust Nathan to make those decisions, and there's a reason why he makes those decisions that he's explained. And obviously when you look at it, it didn't do us any harm. So again, yeah, I'll back his decision making 100%.
Yeah, another thing you mentioned there, I never thought I'd be putting out the headline that Nathan Jones thanks Everton boss Sean Dyche for help in our preparations, but he did. I mean, that was going up on the Thursday. It's just not something you hear often, really. So the fact he decided to try something differently, obviously he thanked the club for making it happen as well, when I was listening to him saying that yesterday, I think, well, that is the sort of thing you do in the Premier League. Like, that's very unusual for a League One club to do that. I mean, I wonder if he'll be doing that more often. You know, we've got Fleetwood in a couple of weeks, haven't we? Maybe that'd be a good chance to go up on. I mean, if we're properly going to do things Premier League, we're going to be flying to every game, even if it's like Reading away or something. But yeah, that was something slightly different, and Nathan certainly credited that with the levels of energy that we saw yesterday.
I think what is clear straight away with Nathan Jones is that he has his way of working and his way of preparing, and the club has got to buy into that. And if the club buys into it, then everybody buys into it. And of course, results and performances have to match that, and yesterday's did. So proof of the pudding and all that. He's under pressure as well, Nathan. Of course, if he asks the club that I've got to go up Thursday because that's the best way I can prepare to get a performance out of my side, they've got to put that performance in. So he's putting his neck on the line, and it worked. Now, I'd go back even to the Lincoln game when you consider the team selection for that. Conor Coventry, who I didn't think has done much wrong, Louis Watson, who everybody's been calling for to play more, weren't even in the squad against Lincoln, and George Dobson, who everybody expected not to be anywhere near it, was. And so he's not scared. He picks the side he thinks is gonna perform and do well, and he'll utilise that squad. He doesn't like the word drop, and I get that, because he wants, and he knows, especially as we get closer to the end, we're going to be playing two games a week. He's got to use everybody, and so everybody's got to be sharp, everybody's got to be ready, and it's an indication that he puts his trust in players. Now, if you think back, a lot of the reasons given for sometimes for our malaise and our poor performances was a lack of experience. Right, the three best players on the park yesterday were all kids: Caroy Anderson, Thierry Small, Daniel Connor, right? None of them were vastly experienced, yet they were the three best players on the park. Caroy Anderson, when he came in against Lincoln, put in a decent performance. I wouldn't say it was the best, but something's visibly changed in players, and you can see it quite clearly. So whatever Nathan does, Jones does, it works. And I think probably simply it's about belief, and there just seems to be a bit more belief about the squad.
Yeah, Will tweeted us yesterday, just after the game, saying a fighting team effort today, which was fantastic to see. Dan Carney was excellent, but can we share some of the praise onto Thierry Small? He was brilliant today and fully deserved his goal. He says, with Kane Ramsey on the other side, we are going to be unstoppable. But unfortunately, it sounds like Kane has been stopped. So we've a long term. Well, Nathan's not giving it the full details away yet. He just says it's not a minor one. So it sounds like Kane Ramsey is going to be out for a while, which is a shame, because, you know, we've spoken about how wing backs have been a difficult part of the side for us this season. And like we say, yeah, Small came in on the left yesterday, did good, did really well. Now Kane Ramsey, who we all thought had a decent game in the week, looks like he's going to be out for a while, which is a real shame. We had a couple of emails come in as well. Stuart says, morning, Louis. Best performance yesterday from us this season that I have witnessed in the flesh. Great intensity from all concerned against the best passing team in the league, in my opinion. That's the standard now that we require for the next 13 games. Do that, and we'll stay up. And McSquared said, that's more like it. Considering Bolton's position in the league, their impressive home record and our woeful away record, it was a fantastic result yesterday. If that level of fight and spirit is shown for the remainder of the season, we're in with a decent shout of staying up. The players finally look like they're pulling together as a team and not playing as a group of individuals. Because, I mean, as Spamfish says, we can't get away from the fact, well, it's 15 games in the league, 17 including a couple of cup games, without a win. If we're leading a game by a goal and injury time, the nerves look impossible to overcome. So, I mean, no one's under any illusions that we can continue going away and getting a free and go, that's a great point. Yeah, we've been relegated, because that is what will happen. We have to start to turn these into wins. But like I said to Nathan again, we looked at this run of three fixtures, and many of us at the back of our mind were thinking, right, that's 0 points from nine. If we can take three or four from this run and then keep that level of intensity up against some of the lesser teams that are coming up, some of the teams around us, then I think we'll be fine. And after the Reading performance this time last week, I didn't think we'd be fine because we hadn't seen any reaction, but we have seen one this week. And that again is what we're going to cling on to. The 13 games left. It's not like we're in the last couple of weeks of the season. There is still time just to start and pick up those wins now.
Yeah, not like we've already sort of said, like you take the confidence from yesterday and use that going forward. Obviously, Portsmouth next week is a massive, every game is going to be a massive game for us. But Portsmouth next week, they hammered Reading yesterday. We traditionally do well against Portsmouth, but again, we can't assume that that will be the case. But again, taking that from yesterday, the lads have got to go in with that confidence and a belief in themselves that they can get points against these sides. I think when we look at it, as much as we want a win, you would take a point against teams like Bolton and Portsmouth. But Nathan's definitely not going to go in with that mindset. After yesterday, he'll be saying to the lads, you can win against Portsmouth, you can win against Derby. So I think we'll see. He's got a whole week. Obviously, we haven't got a midweek game this week, so that gives him a full week to work through those things, that those mistakes that we saw yesterday, that the defensive errors that we've been making, which weren't as horrendous yesterday as they have been. But yeah, 13 games, that's a lot of games. That's a lot of points to play for. So I feel like you say, if it was a couple of games, you would still be a little bit worried. But as it's 13, you've got to think, right, let's just get as many points as we can, which will give us a fighting chance of staying up.
Yeah, George saying we've just got to get past these next two games, and then we need a good run of wins to bring other teams around us into the fold. All hell let loose says he's expecting our normal 3 points against Portsmouth next Saturday anyway, which would be very nice. Paul does ask the question, which is obviously fair. We have spoken a lot about the attacking play and the goals we scored, but you know, we mentioned earlier, Nathan said himself he's disappointed with the level of the goals that we conceded. And Paul says, it's great seeing the passion and the energy, but how does Nathan solve our defensive problems, Terry? I mean, obviously, again, if you had the answer to this, it wouldn't be Nathan in the dugout, it'd be you. But, well, I mean, what can he do in this time? Because obviously it's still going to be, on the whole, it's going to be the same defenders we've had all season. So how does he fix it?
Do you know, and it's a question I've asked successive managers over the past however many months and years, you know, how do you stop experienced defenders just inexplicably giving the ball to their centre forward on the edge of the penalty area and stuff like that? How do you change that? And I think there's a couple of things, and it's a mindset. I think Nathan Jones, I don't know, of course, I'm guessing, but you get the feeling that Nathan Jones sees it as a mindset thing. So couple of things there. You saw yesterday where we were desperate not to lose rather than scared to lose, if you get that difference. So throwing bodies in front of the ball, which George Dobson does on a regular basis, Nathan Jones is doing it, Gillespie's doing it, Small's doing it, you know, even Tanae Watson doing it. So there are, that's a mindset change, I think. And also, because I came away almost questioning myself a little bit by saying, you know, The sort of Charlton part of me took over for a bit, and I said, oh, how are we going to cope with this if we've got to score three goals just to get a point? But I get the feeling that Nathan Jones turns that on his head and says, no, teams like Bolton have got to score three goals just to get a point off us. Do you see what I mean? So there's a mindset change, I think. I don't know what's in Nathan Jones' head, or I'm not there on the training ground, but you just get the feeling there is a change, and maybe that's it, that you've got other teams are now going to look at us and think, well, to beat Charlton, we've got to score three goals.
Yeah, problem is they tend to do it anyway.
Yes and no, but you know, I think Sue said it, and quite a few fans are probably saying it. 2 months ago, there's no way we'd have come out of there 3-3. I don't think. I think We'd have probably let them score three goals. I don't think we'd have taken the lead twice. I don't think we'd have come back from being a goal down in the manner in which we did. So I just think there's a change. I hope there's a change. We'll know for sure in the coming weeks and months, but something has changed, clearly, and let's hope that continues.
Yeah, I mean, Guy said we might need to win five or six games out of the 13 for safety, 50 points. It's going to be very tight. Yeah, I mean, 50 is sort of a target a lot of people talk about. It's a roundabout where you need to be. I think like on my graph, it's something like 48, 49 is the average. So, yeah, I mean, let's not get carried away. As we said, we still have to turn these draws into wins over the last couple of weeks. Right, let's have a listen to our final interview of the show. And it'll be a good one because it's Dan Carney who got his goal yesterday and was absolutely superb yesterday throughout the 90 minutes that he was on the pitch anyway. So let's hear what Dan had to say after the 3-3 draw with Bolton. Dan, first of all, it's a 3-3 draw at Bolton here. Do you see that as a good point?
Definitely. Bolton are very high up in the table and obviously we haven't had the season that we wanted, but I think we've come here today firstly knowing that we have to work hard, and I think we did that. And also knowing that if we did work hard, our qualities will come through, and they did in moments. And I think, all in all, looking at the game, I think it's a strong point to come away with 2-1 beaten now. And yeah, it's a good point to push on to next week.
Yeah, I mean, having gone behind, then obviously twice being ahead, is there frustration that you couldn't hold on, or do you still think coming to where you come, you have to take that?
There's always frustration because we know how good we are and how good we can be. So it is a bit frustrating, but at the same time, we did come back twice as well, so it's a hard one. But I think, all in all, looking at how much possession they had as well and how much pressure they did put us under, I think it's probably a fair result.
Talk us through your goal. It came at a really vital time, having it just gone to 2-2 and to put us back ahead. How did you see it?
Oh, it was a very weird one. Thierry did well to keep it alive, and he played to the whistle, which was good. So he's won the header, the ball's come down and he's tried to hit or something, and then it's like bounced around and then it's come my way and I've stretched for it. I didn't even think I was going to get there, but I've got there, it's hit the post. I thought, okay, it's going to hit the post, come out, but then thank God it's hit the post and gone in. So yeah, so it was a good goal. I've just watched it back because it actually looked a lot better than what I thought it would be. But yeah, I'm just happy to be back on the score sheet and hopefully can hit double figures next week, because that's the aim.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a replay of your celebration in front of the away end as well, and I can see how much it still means to you to be scoring goals in the first team. Is that sort of like the target you set at the start of the season? You're sort of around where you wanted to be now?
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to just be in and around it. I think, first of all, I wanted to put positive performances in. I think that's my main objective, like, because my type of play, I like to get in players' faces. I like to press, close down. I think first of all, I've got that down, which has been really good, and now it's just about adding goals to my game, and I think this is the start of something good for me. And I think credit to the gaffer as well, who's been giving me a lot of opportunities, who's been helping me a lot, and also the strikers that we have at the club as well, Freddie, Chucks, Alf, that I've been training with and playing with. They've all really helped me and they've all given me a lot to learn from, especially with all the experience they have. So yeah, I've been learning a lot, and I just want to continue improving and continue scoring goals for the club.
Yeah, I said to Nathan, like, he's continued to show faith in you, but he sort of threw that back at me and said, well, it's not faith, he's getting picked because of his performances. But those players behind you must sort of push you to be your best as well.
100%. I think that's what I like most about, especially my little group, or the forwards. We're all constantly pushing each other, and obviously me being the youngest forward we have, they're always pushing me, always trying to get the best out of me, which has helped me perform the way that I've been performing in recent weeks. So yeah, it's been really, really good.
And you signed your new deal as well recently as well, so that must be a big lift for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, it was a really proud moment for me and my family and for all those that have been working with me up until this point. And yeah, I'm just glad to be here. I'm really, really glad to be here. And I just want to continue scoring goals for the club.
Does it make it extra special because you've been with Charlton for so long?
100%. It really does. It's a deep connection, not just with like the coaches, but also with the fans that have been supporting me since I made my debut when I was 17. So it means a lot to me, and I want to continue doing well for the club and just making a name for myself here. And
finally, obviously, said to Nathan as well, it's, even with a good point, it's still 15 without a win. Does performances today give you guys the belief that you will turn those results around soon?
100%. I think when you come to places like this, a lot, especially with the run that we're in, a lot of people will say, you know what, we've got like damage limitation and things like that, but we got at them, and I think we showed a lot of heart, a lot of desire, a lot of character to score 3 goals against a side that's top of the league. So I think, all in all, I think it's something to be proud of, and it's something, obviously we have a lot to work on, but it's something that we, it's something we can be proud of and something we can continue and push forward with and progress with.
Okay, that's Dan Carney speaking to myself after yesterday's 3-3 draw up at Bolton. You've got a smile on your face, Sue. I've noticed that with a few of our younger players. We spoke to Dan and Zach Mitchell at the Player of the Year dinner towards the end of last season. They both speak beyond their years, if that makes sense. They feel very mature. And yeah, Dan, you can tell, has got like a sort of good family around him and a good head on his shoulders. And he can stay humble whilst also knowing that he's in this side to score goals, and he can do that. And he wants to hit 10 next week. So that's including the 4 goals he got for Southend on loan as well. And to hit double figures in a full season at his age wouldn't be a bad start at all.
No, I smile because you just, like, as you listen to him, you think, you have to remind yourself of how old he is. What an amazing young man. And like you say, you've got to credit his family for the young man they've raised, but also I guess like whatever's been instilled in him in the Charlton Academy and how you get that real like genuine feel that he loves the club and he loves playing for the club and he's proud to represent the club. So it's really lovely to hear a young lad talk like that and have that confidence, because again, he did, and someone's made a comment, he's mentioned the gaffer. Now, how often this season have we heard our players talk about the manager in their post-match interviews? So, there's this sort of real togetherness feeling about it all. And Nathan is so good with younger players. We know that from when he won the league with our 2021s. So just he's going to be bringing the best out of these young lads and giving them that confidence and advising how to speak well in the media. And because again, it's hard to teach young people that level of maturity. So a lot of it has come from his family, obviously, but it just astounds me how well he speaks, how confident he is talking to the press.
Yeah, Guy says there's a real belief in the team again. Also, how is this a teenager that I'm listening to? He's still only 19 years old. And as Sue mentioned, Time Traveller says, Daniel mentioning the gaffer sounds as if he's finally getting something from these players, hopefully onwards and upwards for me. I probably should have mentioned, actually, Freddie Ladapa yesterday. So I think a lot of his running went sort of almost unseen yesterday, Tell, because obviously didn't get on the score sheet. I don't really remember him having a chance. But the front two for the first hour yesterday really had to put the yards in, and I thought Freddie actually played a big part in that.
Yeah, I agree with you. He really put a shift in, and I think he had a couple of half chances. But they're up against the Bolton side, who one of the best home records, or the best home record in the division. So it was always going to be tough. Just before I move on to Freddie, I've got to say, I thought Sue was going to hug the laptop. I mean, actually, not like love Daniel Carney, by the way. he is just a very well-spoken young man and such a smashing kid. And I definitely expected Sue to hug the laptop in front of him when he started speaking. But back to Freddie. I mean, I said it tonight in post-match. I felt a bit guilty about trying to pick one player out, or three players. I picked the three young lads, but that felt a bit like I was cheating the others, because it was a real shift by the whole side. And Freddie and Daniel up top in that first, certainly in the first half. And of course, they tired a bit towards the second, but that shift they put in the first half really put the frighteners up a bowl. They didn't give them a second to settle on the ball at the back, and their keeper was clearly rattled as well. Hence the reason for that first goal. I mean, he was expecting Freddie Ladapa to get there. He saw him in his eye line. How many times have we just watched players see the ball flash across and not gone for it? Do you know what I mean? And I just think every single player, and Freddie included, put a real shift in yesterday.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, Guy says Ladapo, Small and Kanu willed our third goal into existence. Credit for Freddie there, protecting the ball and keeping it alive. Paul saying Freddie doing Freddie things. There was a nice video of him. I think he bumped into some Ipswich fans on the coach back yesterday, which obviously shows he's held in high regard by then. Right, Alan says, bring on Pompey and their silly drama and the bell as well, which he's called John, I think he's called. So we'll look forward to that game on Thursday. We have run out of time on this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to everyone who's joined us on the live stream or caught up via our YouTube page or your podcast page after the event. We've just gone past 1,500 subscribers on our YouTube page. So if you haven't done so yet, make sure you do, and we'll try and get up to 2,000 sooner rather than later. Massive thank you to both Sue and Terry for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you.
Cheers, Lou. Can I just say that Charlton Live should take a leaf out of Nathan Jones' book and the club's book, because obviously he got a better performance. He mentioned about the long drive home, 7 hours, being stiff the next morning. So, you know, the club paid for him to go up early. So, I mean, if you want me to come on more, then you're going to have to send me up on a Thursday and I'll come back, I don't know, the following Tuesday or something, so I can get over my stiffness. So, yeah, that'll be fine then from then on.
That one show all season, and now he's dictating terms. Is it? Brilliant. Great to have you both on, especially to see you, Terry. I have seen you in person, but it feels like a special event when Terry can make it to Charlton Live. So thanks. Right, I'm Louis. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to look ahead properly to that Portsmouth game. Really looking forward to that. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We'll see you again on Thursday.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.